I've asked Jim Burgess. Jim, if you'd come forward at this time, I've asked Jim to share a word of testimony in regards to the blessing of being in an accountability group. Jim's been in one. He's going to come and share. We had this last week, and you've noticed probably in the bulletin that we do have accountability groups mentioned. If any of you are interested, there's people there to contact, but I just wanted you to hear from some in regards to God's working in their life. Jim?
Pastor asked me a few days ago to tell you about my experience with the accountability group. I need to tell you that I was saved a long time ago, but I had always resisted being a part of anything that would appear to make me accountable. I felt like I could handle anything myself and really did not particularly want to share my feelings with anybody else. I felt like I was too macho for that. After all, I am a man and I'm saved. What more could God possibly want from me? About 2 years ago, I was asked to attend an accountability group meeting. More out of courtesy than anything else, I decided I'd attend the meeting. Much to my surprise, I enjoyed it very much. The meeting that I attended and still attend to this day consists of three parts. First, we memorize scripture. In the past, I had never felt the need, but decided I'd go along with it. I found memorization of scripture difficult. It's something that I have to work on all week long. But after 2 years, I've been able to accomplish the memorization most of the time, not 100%, and have learned a whole lot of scripture along the way. The second part of our meeting is to discuss the recent morning message by Pastor Holcomb. We're given a sheet called Digging Deeper Questions. If you're interested in it, you can find them out by the church office. We're asked to answer questions that the pastor has given us extra to the outline that you see on the screen behind us. In order to do that, of course, you have to pay attention to the message. No more could I shift into neutral, kick back, and relax. I had to pay attention. I had to take some notes. Sometimes I even had to do a little research in order to accomplish what I needed. The third part of our meeting is to pray. We pray for each other's needs. Each participant can share his prayer requests, and sometimes each of us would open up with things that we wouldn't tell anybody else, but it's a place where we can safely talk about problems that we have. We then pray for each other during the meeting and throughout the next week as led by the Lord. The results of having done this now for 2 years, in spite of my original misgivings, has been a huge improvement in my quality of life and certainly a lot more peaceful existence. A side benefit to it has been a closer bond with a group of men that would not have been possible for me to have in the past. I would really encourage each of you to become involved in an accountability group. As Pastor said a few moments ago, there are several listed in your bulletin. This time they're in the center. All of these are listed for men. I understand that there has been a ladies' group formed also. I don't know why there would be any less reason for a lady to be accountable than a man, so I would suggest that you consider that. Each of us, young and old, need to be accountable to God, of course, but it also is helpful for us to be accountable to other people, to some other person at least. The result of that is you are much less likely to be tempted, you are much less likely to sin, your quality of life will improve.
Amen. Jim, thank you very much. I'd like for all of you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'd like to share with you several verses here and then concentrate on just a few in regards to preparation for communion tonight, for the Lord's table, and that time that we have together. Matthew chapter 6. I'd like for you to look at what is called the Lord's Prayer. Of course, when I recently preached through this, I gave it the title, The Disciples' Prayer, because I believe that Jesus is teaching his disciples, teaching us how we ought to be people of prayer, and then giving us a pattern on how to pray. So I'd like for you to notice again what that is. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 9. If you are physically able, please stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. And just follow along in your own Bibles or listen to me as I read. Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then notice these two verses that immediately follow. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray before we study the Word tonight. Father, open our hearts, I pray. Teach us again, especially in regards to forgiveness, what you've done for us and what we are to do for others. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord's Supper that we are going to remember here in just a moment together as brethren is that which focuses on the sacrifice of Jesus, described in Scripture as the Lamb of God, the one who died for our sin so that we might be forgiven. When John the Baptist was preaching repentance in anticipation of the coming Messiah, and that was his ministry to prepare the way of the Lord, he was preaching in regards to the need for people to repent, understanding that the one who could take away their sin would soon be on the scene. And if you can remember, Scripture describes the day in which John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming. He saw the Messiah, the one that he had been preaching about. And here's what he said, and I anticipate that there was a crowd around him. It may have been while a service was going on, maybe even while he was preaching. Don't know all the circumstances, but he says this, Behold, that means look, pay attention, look and see. He says, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was his introduction of Jesus Christ when Jesus literally, physically, in person appeared on the scene. Well, tonight, as we partake together at the Lord's table, we need to remember that our sins have been taken away by the Lamb of God, the Lamb who was slain in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ who came for that purpose. And as we consider that, we need to remember, I believe, and be reminded of the fact of how blessed we are to be forgiven. None of us deserve forgiveness of sin, but God has loved us so much that he has provided that for us. And in salvation, we have been forgiven of every sin, every sin. And then as we walk with God daily as Christians, and from time to time fail in sin, the great promise is given in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For salvation and sanctification, the blessedness of forgiveness is there. But I find a very interesting word that I've read, I don't know how many times, I even preached through it, and I don't remember having this emphasis when I did so recently on Sunday mornings. And that is a word found in verse 12. Look at it again, please. He says, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God is stating here that our sin is a debt. Debt. We know he's talking about sin. We know that. Later on in the other two verses I read, 14 and 15, he talks about trespassing. I believe we have an understanding of that as well. Trespassing, we transgress against the law. But this is a different picture. It's a very important picture. And so let's look at the blessedness of forgiveness tonight by looking at two truths. The first is this. Our debt of sin is forgiven by Christ when we trust him as Savior and then as Christians walk with him confessing. I know that's a long statement. Let me shorten it up a bit. Our debt of sin is forgiven by Jesus Christ. Our debt. A debt is a legal obligation. And every person is obligated to obey God's law and do His will. And the problem that we all have, and we're all aware of this, we have all disobeyed God's law. We have all disobeyed His will and followed our own. We all know that there is none righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we who have walked with God at all are those who are the first to say, Lord, that's me. I admit it, I confess it, I understand it, I believe it, I know it. But our sin is a debt that we cannot pay. We cannot pay it. And when you consider that, that is a drastic situation. And it's very much like when a person finds themselves in financial debt. And if not financial debt, financial pressure, having to pay a bill, that's still a debt. All right, financial debt. Think about that. What happens? Sometimes we feel guilty. Often, or at times we're there because of mistakes we've made or even sins that we've committed. Other times we're there through no fault of our own. And we find ourselves in a financial debt. What accompanies that? As I said, at times guilt, there's certainly stress, there's pressure, and at times we wonder what we can do, and there's some people in a situation they cannot pay. How do you pay that which you cannot pay? This is so important that when I have done premarital counseling with people, I have gone to great lengths to stress to them the importance of doing all they can to stay out of debt. We talk about finances. We talk about that, the pressure and the stress that comes with that. And often I've shared with them that once you sign the dotted line, there's no way out. I have said that. And I've said, you sign and say you're going to pay this particular amount of money. If you go back to them a month later or half a year later or a year later and say, you know what? I made a terrible mistake. I shouldn't have done it. I couldn't do it. I can't pay. They don't say, okay, fine, you don't have to pay. They don't say, I've shared that with people. I've shared that there is no forgiveness out there in this world when it comes to debt. Now, here's something I've been thinking about. Follow along with me, please. I believe in the great, 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 great majority of cases that is true. But I have discovered recently that there are times when debtors are forgiven financially. In this age, in the day in which you and I live, and a day of financial crisis, from time to time you will read about certain loans being forgiven. That's the word they use. For instance, did you know that there are certain nations that are sometimes forgiven their debt? They are. That happens. Certain nations sometimes do that. There's talk about student loans being forgiven. There's talk about homeowners being forgiven for unpaid mortgages. There's talk about institutions being forgiven because they're too big to fail. That's kind of an interesting one to think about, but there's talk about that. And I have heard of, and I'm sure maybe a number of you have as well, of individuals telling someone else who owes them a debt, hey, it's forgiven, don't worry about it, you're never going to have to pay. It is forgiven. In considering this and how in some cases it's being done by nations and being talked about, like I said, with student loans or homeowners or other institutions, one financial expert, though, warned this. He warned that there is no such thing as free forgiveness. Someone has to bear the burden of the debt. If our nation forgives another nation their debt, who pays? You and me. The citizens pay. I've heard of hospital bills being forgiven. Now, I've heard about that in a number of instances. And sometimes they use this phrase, well, it was just written off. And I hear phrases like that and I think, those are all scriptural terms. But who pays? It's not free. That hospital's paying for it somehow, some way. Somehow, some way. And we need to consider this in regards to a debt being forgiven. spiritually speaking, the someone who forgives what we cannot pay is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hymn that we sing from time to time in regards to our sin. The title of it is this: Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Why? Because he paid that which I could not pay, that which I cannot pay. And as a spotless Lamb of God, sinless, perfect, he paid that debt for us. And he did it when he died on the cross. You see, there's a penalty for sin that had to be paid. It had to be paid. Because God, being righteous and just and holy, has to punish sin. That's clear in Scripture. The soul that sins, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's what had to be paid. And Jesus loved you so much and me so much that some 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth as the God-man, perfect, spotless, sinless, as John the Baptist described, the Lamb of God, sacrificial Lamb, so that he could go to the cross and pay the penalty of our debt, pay the penalty of our sin, and he did so. He took our place. He suffered our punishment. He took our pain. He paid our penalty. And again, we didn't deserve any of it. In fact, he did it for us while we were yet sinners. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And just think about this. Think of the depth of this love. And it was done by Almighty God. It's enough to chew on the rest of your life, to meditate on and be blessed concerning the fact of the truth that Jesus did pay it all. And tonight, as we have communion, we need to be thankful for that in regards to our salvation. We also need to be thankful for that in regards to our sanctification. I mentioned to you 1 John 1:9. And the great thing about that is that as forgiven sinners now in salvation, there are still times that we do fail. It's not our habit. It's not our manner of living. That has changed. But we are still those who from time to time sin. And what a blessing to know that he can take that sin when we confess it, and it is forgiven and we are cleansed. I know I've shared this with you before, but think about it again. Have you ever gone to God in confession and you're dealing with some sin in your life, and then maybe you wonder, hey, did I get it all covered? Did I cover everything I've done? Have I confessed everything I need to? We are to confess everything God brings to our mind, everything God brings to our heart. Sometimes that may take 5 seconds. Sometimes it may take 5 hours. I don't know. I'm not given a time limit. Just make sure it's done. But if you're worried about, did you get it covered, all covered, he covers it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talk about the grace of God. Talk about love profound. That is our God. That is our Lord. And he takes away the guilt. He takes away the fear. He says he remembers it no more. It is removed as far as east is from the west. It's buried in the depths of the sea. And God does that for us in salvation, and he does it for us in sanctification. So, what should we do because of this? Well, I think we should do several things. One is this: we should be extremely grateful. And hopefully we make it a part of our prayer that we continue, whenever you have devotions, to thank God for the fact that we're saved. Because it's too easy to take it for granted. And I think we should develop the habit of every time we pray, saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming to this earth and dying in my place and taking my place, pain and punishment, and paying the penalty of my sin, which was death. And thank you for the grace of God that showed me I was a sinner. Thank you for that person who shared with me the gospel. Or that TV evangelist that I heard on TV that shared with me the gospel. Thank you for these people who love me, who in my past were planting in my life the seed of the word of God, and that, Lord, you brought it to life one day through your working to show me my sin and what you did. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We need to do that, but there's something else we need to do. And this is very practical. And that is the second point in regards to considering our forgiveness tonight. we need to forgive others. Look again at Matthew 5 and verse 14 and 15. How interesting that after this statement of teaching on how to pray, the one thing he follows up with is this: we need to forgive other people. Since God has forgiven us, we need to forgive others. We're not to hold a grudge. We're not to have an unforgiving spirit. Since we have tasted of the forgiveness of God ourselves, what God has done for us in his love and grace, we are to extend love and grace to other people. You see, God's forgiveness is intensely practical. Not only is our guilt, shame, and broken relationship with God taken away, we've got to come to the place where we forgive other people because he has forgiven us. So tonight, as we partake of communion, let's think of a couple of things. One is this: have you been thanking God for the forgiveness that he gives to you? In salvation, that was a one-time thing, but also in sanctification, that our fellowship is continually restored with him when it's broken because of sin. Are we thanking God for that? And the second is this: do we need to forgive someone tonight? Do we need to forgive them? God says we're to do that. And if not, our fellowship with God is broken. That's the emphasis of these verses. Our fellowship with God is broken, and we need to make things right with him by forgiving that person. Forgiveness is a blessing. Let's make sure we share it with others. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this, your word. I thank you, God, that you have taken the debt and paid it, as only you, our loving, grace-filled Lord, can do. And as we celebrate the Lord's table here in just a moment, communion together, I pray, God, that we would consider these truths. And Lord, if there's anything we need to do because of what you have said tonight in your word, may it happen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.